Happy Mother's Day to each mother in this room. Thank you so much for all you put up with and how you raise little people and big people alike. Thank you so much. The role of a mother is the highest calling a woman can have, yet unfortunately, it is greatly unappreciated and minimized by the world today. When I saw that video, I thought, yeah, that's my mom, especially the peeling out of the tires. And don't tell her I told you that, but she is a safe driver. She's just always in a hurry. But, you know, I'm really grateful for my mother. I'm grateful for all that she has done for me and my family and my siblings. And I just want to say thank you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. And once again, happy Mother's Day to each person here. Let's just have one more word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just want to ask that you would please give us your spirit now. Lord, thank you so much for mothers. Lord, thank you so much for the Pathfinders. And I just want to ask that you would be lifted up and glorified. We pray in your name. Amen. Today's story is about a mother. Hannah, you know the story in 1 Samuel chapter 1. You see the story of Elkanah. It's naming him, and then it says he was married to Hannah. And then his wife's name, which I always had a hard time pronouncing, Peninnah or Peninnah or whatever it is. She wasn't a really nice lady, okay? Hannah was his first wife, and they couldn't have kids. And so he went into a polygamous relationship, and he married another woman. Almost similar to what happened with Abraham, losing the trust in God to be able to provide. And so they took matters into their own hands. And so he married another woman, and he started bearing children through her. And this grieved Hannah because she couldn't have children. And the sister wife would always rub it in her face and provoke her. I'm the favorite of God. You're not. And it would tear Hannah up. And each year they would go to the sanctuary, to the temple, and they would be worshiping. And it says in verse 7, it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she, meaning Hannah, wept and did not eat. Verse 8, if you're there with me, read this. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Now let me stop right there really quick. I'm glad my wife isn't here or else she'd agree with this next statement. But isn't it just like us and so typical of us men that when our wife or significant other is distraught and we know why, we venture to ask the question, what's wrong, honey? Why are you upset? And in most cases, we're met with more crying or the dreaded look. Tony, you know what I'm talking about, right, buddy? The look. We all know, men, we all know what that look is when the woman looks at you just like. Ava offered to put a picture up, but I said, no, it's all right. They'll get the picture. And then he does something that is so typical of us again. We offer ourselves up as a solution because we're so fixer-uppers. We have to fix the problem. And we think we are the answer. And as painful as it is for me to admit this right now, we are not always the answer. Right, men? Well, I heard the women say amen. Well, that's all right. It's okay. We're celebrating mothers today. Amen? Amen. All right, and then Elkanah even admits that he knows the answer to her problem when he says, am I not better than 10 sons to you? He knew she was distraught because she didn't have a child, and so he goes and says, am I not better? Baby, you got me. You don't need no sons. I'm all you need. But this was so distraught to her because he couldn't fulfill a need that she needed, and it was the desire and longing to be a mother. Back then, in that time, it was important to have a child, and mainly more important to have a son, because the son could take on and perpetuate the father's name. He could inherit his estate, and if you were a Jewish, you hoped and prayed that the Messiah would come from your family line. And they held on to this hope. And to not have a child, to be barren, we're told that God closed her womb. We'll come back to that. But to not have a child, it was looked upon as a reproach to women. Like they couldn't do their job. And so it was very heavy for Hannah to take this and accept it. And look what she does. Go with me down to verse 10. After that confrontation, verse 10, it says, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish." After being mocked by a sister wife and a poor attempt to console by her husband, we see her in the temple presenting us with the first quality of a mother. Quality number one, Hannah was a mother of godly dependence. She took her bitterness of soul and she didn't go to another person and express it, but she took that. While there is a time and a place for that, don't get me wrong, she took the problem that she bore and she gave it into God's hands. If we have any intentions of raising a child, and me included, one day, in the way of God, let us not depend upon our own wisdom of joy in times of joy or difficulty. We're told in child guidance that more than human wisdom is needed by parents at every step. At every step, that they may understand how to best educate their children for a useful and happy life here and for higher service and greater joy hereafter. The responsibility that a mother carries, we're told multiple times by Spirit of Prophecy that it's such a great privilege, the highest influence that a child could have is by its mother. And we are told that through multiple chapters in Adventist Home and Child's Guidance and the education, we see the important role that a mother has on her children. She's with them throughout most of the day, if not all the day, and then she's doing multiple things, multitasking, just like in the video up there. And then we're told that when the husband comes home, that he's supposed to relieve her of the duties so that she can have a break, because she's been going all day. Can I get an amen from the women? Yeah. Oh, man, y'all don't want a break, do you? All right. Quality number one that Hannah possessed as a mother was she had a motherly quality of godly dependence, which played a very important role in raising Samuel. Let's take a deeper look into what pouring out her soul looked like and what she said to God. Our scripture reading for today, verse 11. "Then she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.'" Wow, the desire, the humility, and the love that is poured out into this prayer to have a child. She poured herself out. She addressed herself to God as the maidservant. "God, I'm your maidservant. Grant me this wish," her desire. She's pouring out her soul in a vow, which is not a mere promise, which we're told promises are made of ropes of sand because they're easily broken, but she's pouring herself out in vowing, "God, if you could give me but a child, I will give him back to you." Which leads me to the second quality of this mother, is that Hannah was a mother of sacrifice. She desired a child that she was willing to give birth to, and then after a certain amount of time, give him completely to God. And the story continues, and you see that God remembers Hannah, and he gives her a child. She names him Samuel, and she keeps him. And we're told in verse 24 that she keeps him until he was weaned, which translates to about somewhere between age 3 to 5. And most likely it was 3 because that was the most common time or the most common age that the child was weaned. Could you imagine bonding with your child for 3 years, and then after those 3 years, completely hand them over to someone else to raise? Could you do that? Can you even imagine it? What a difficult task. But nonetheless, Hannah was a woman of her word, and she vowed to God, "If you could give me a son, I will turn him back over to you." And at 3 years old, she gives him to Eli. Like, why would you even want to have a child if in 3 years after it's born, after the bond has been created for three long years, give him to someone else? I can't even imagine what that must be like. But yet you see the sacrifice that Hannah was willing to take in order to have this child. Someone could say, well, she had him in the most important years of his life, in some of the most important years, because it is in those 3 years of life that they're important for building the baby's brain. Everything he or she touches, hears, tastes, smells, helps shape the brain for thinking, feeling, and learning. And she played a very important role here within the first 3 years of her son's life. I'm sure all of us could tell story after story about the sacrifice your mother has made for you. The sacrifice of getting you clothes when there wasn't enough money, the sacrifice of giving you food when there wasn't enough for her herself, the sacrifice of you name it, the sacrifice a mother will make so that it ensures the best for her child. And we could say that after she gave Samuel up to Eli, that was all the interaction with his mother that Samuel ever had. But go with me to chapter 2 and verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year." How often? Year by year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Imagine those visiting rites. You only get to see your child once a year. I mean, I'm sure she could have seen her child more often than that, but we're only told that she saw him year after year. Imagine how much you're missing. 3 years of age, giving him up, and then year after year, your son or child is a different person. Someone new that was different from the last time you met them. But a third quality here is seen that we can see from Hannah that she exerted as a mother, and that is, Hannah was a mother of faithfulness and consistency. Each year she made a visit. Each year of her return symbolized her love and care for Samuel. Each year she brought a token of her love, a robe. And what better way to remind him of her love than a robe that wraps its arms around him just like she would? How powerful is the consistent and faithful love of a mother. It reminds me of a story, and it happened in Wales. We're told that one cold winter in South Wales, a mother was traveling cross-country with her young babe and was caught in a blinding blizzard. The following day, upon learning she never reached her destination, a group of men went out to search for her. They soon spotted a large mound of snow in the road that she was known to have traveled. They quickly swept away the white powder and found the frozen body of the barely dressed woman. In her arms was a bundle of clothing, which they unwrapped to reveal her baby, alive. In the struggle of the snowstorm, the woman had taken off most of her clothing and wrapped it around the little boy to keep him alive. She knew that she would perish, but that the baby might survive. The baby was David Lloyd George, who lived to become the celebrated Prime Minister of Britain during World War I. One of the reasons he achieved such greatness is that he never forgot about his mother's love and sacrifice. the depths a mother will go to ensure the best for her child. A mother's love, sacrifice, faithfulness, and dependence on God, a few of the many, many, many qualities God has endowed mothers, women, are the things a child needs to flourish. You know the story of what happened to Samuel. He was pure, he was kind, he was true, he went on to be a great man of God. And if you think about it, because of Hannah and her example and her rearing, Samuel became the iconic pathfinder. He kept the pathfinder law and pledged to a T. He kept the morning watch. He did his honest part. He cared for his body. He kept a level eye. He was courteous and obedient. He walked softly in the sanctuary. He kept a song in his heart, and he went on God's errands. He was pure. He was kind. He was true. He kept the law of God. He was a servant of God and a friend to man. He kept it to a T. But those qualities first started with his mother's example and teaching. Pathfinders is one of many different positive avenues, helps continue that growth that the mother starts in the early years of a child's life. And for some, it may be the first time that they're ever coming to encounter with these types of qualities to exhibit within their life. So in conclusion, I just want to say thank you so much, mothers, and those who have a mother's heart, for all that you do and continue to do for us, for your children, and for those to come. Only in heaven will we see the extent of your labor. And thank you, Pathfinders, for your commitment to be living by example. I just want to thank you so much for life and for giving us mothers who can grant us life, Lord. And I just want to pray that you be with each person in this room as we continue to celebrate this weekend and celebrate the life you have given each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.